Greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us today for our series on a few men of the Bible where we can take lessons from their lives. We hope you will invite your family and friends to worship with us. Thank you for the kind letters we have been receiving. We are delighted when we hear from you. A viewer from Missouri wrote, "We love Pastor Salem and his straightforward approach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are lifted up every Sunday morning." And from Indiana, "We pray for Pastor Salem's TV sermons to continue. Hearing the true Bible sermons gives us the hope and encouragement we need to hear." Today's timeless message, Noah, great man of God in a world of sin, speaks to how God used Noah to save the world from extinction. We hope today's service will be a blessing to you. Have a great week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really got a great sermon today, a great message. We're going to talk about Noah. He's a man of God, and you know the story of Noah and the flood. A lot of lessons to be learned there, and they're lessons that we need for today. Call your friends, tell them, hey, he's going to talk about Noah. And everybody likes Noah, so we'll just have a good time. We're looking at Psalm 91 today, where the psalmist writes, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by day, nor for night, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And oh God, we just thank you for this wonderful promise that we are never alone. We always have your protection and your care. And though troubles may come and troubles may go, you are the same. And we are safe, safe in the arms of Jesus. Pray that you'll bless our service today and help us to be a blessing to others. And in our service today, we pray that there'll be multitudes that will come to Jesus, receive him as their Savior. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? We believe that. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan is going to sing, "Then I Met the Master," and God bless you, Jan.
Like a babe when it cries.
Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. And I guess we have to ask the question, do you belong to the Master? Well, you say, no, I guess I don't, but I don't know how. Let me tell you how. Jesus said in John's Gospel, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. So you receive Jesus, and you become his child. Now, so you say then, well, how do I receive him? Well, how do you receive anybody? Somebody rings the doorbell, knocks on the door, you open the door and say, come in. So that's the way you receive him. And so Jesus is knocking at your heart's door right now. You've got a feeling. I really would like to have a master. I do want to know Jesus. I want to belong to him. Well, then you know what you do? You just pray and say, and just in your own words, and don't you have to thee and thou and all the rest. Just talk to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. And I ask you to come into my heart. Please come into my heart, and I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. That's all you need to do. And sometimes you say, well, I never prayed before. Well, start now. All you do is talk to Jesus. I had a man one time, and I don't think he'd ever prayed before. And he prayed, and he told of Jesus, and he said, oh, I'm a sinner, and I've committed a lot of sins I didn't know about. I ask you to forgive me. And then he didn't think about saying amen, and he said goodbye. Fine. Say hallelujah if you want to. He's looking at your heart. So, oh, I hope you accept Jesus. Well, we've got some good letters, wonderful letters we had to look at. And I just want to thank you for writing. We appreciate it. If you've got a question, we'll try to answer those. And they just bless us. And then I'll know a little bit what you'd like to have me preach about. You're asking questions. I can answer that. And so I hope that you'll write to us. And we'll give you our address in just a little bit here. And you just get your pencil and paper ready. And by the way, we're going to read from Genesis chapter 6, if you want to locate that. Our first letter is from Ronan, Montana. He says, I was not raised in the church, but Jesus came into my heart when I was 28 years old. My mother and my wife's mother prayed for me a long time. I look forward to seeing you over there. And so here you mothers. And I don't know why it's always the mothers and the grandmothers. Do we have any grandpas around here? But they're praying for their children. They're praying for these children. And here they prayed for this man. And I'm going to tell you something. I've had people come to Jesus and accept Jesus. And their mother's been long gone. But she prayed for them. And long after she was gone to glory, they came to Jesus. And Jesus answered that prayer. And so if he's talking to you today, you just need to get right with God. Maybe your mother prayed for your grandma and hope your grandpa too, and that you'll come to Jesus. Now here's a letter from Marshall, Minnesota. And this person writes and says, I'm writing to say thank you for your service and all you do for our elderly and shut-ins that are not able to attend their own church services. Both of my parents faithfully watched your program when they were not able to attend church. Your messages were a great encouragement to them when their health was failing and they no longer could attend church. My father had a stroke this summer and spent his last 3 months in a nursing home. I would write the channel and time of your program on his board on Saturday night, and the nurses made sure his TV was on, and he really enjoyed watching the Christian Worship Hour. My parents and sisters are now in heaven with our Savior, and I really appreciate how you bless them each and every week as they struggle with their health issues. And so this is it. When the Christian Worship Hour dedicated to three things. First of all, glorify God. And the second thing is to bring sinners to Jesus. And the third thing is to comfort God's people. That's what he told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And sometimes these people can't get out anymore. Now here in the wintertime, like the way it is, a lot of you can't get out. We can be your church. We can worship the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are. You're as close to Jesus. You're as close to God as we are, any of us. And we're all gathered around the throne of grace. And so we pray. Pray for those that can't get out. God bless you. Let's see. Worthing, South Dakota. I thank you for the messages that all of you bring to us. I know God is wonderful because of all the love he has given me. And every time I hear your services, it pulls at my heart, knowing that God has a love deeper than we can imagine. Thank you again, and may God bless you all. And I like this where she writes, it pulls at my heart. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it is. We don't know where you are. We don't know a thing about you. But the Holy Spirit knows all about you. And God knows, well, God says he has the hairs of your head are numbered. He doesn't say counted. He says numbered. When you lose one hair, a number is missing. That's how much he knows about you. And that pull at your heart is the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's asking you to come to Jesus. Maybe he's asking you to put more faith in Jesus. Maybe he's asking you to turn from your evil ways. Maybe he's asking you to start being more loving. I don't know what it is, but you just listen to the Spirit and he'll lead you. He's real. He's God. Here's Spring Hill, Florida. Ken is blind, but he makes sure he tunes in the show. He'll be 90 December 7th. He served in the Navy. So we always appreciate his service people all over the world who serve their country, wherever they might be. And we pray for them, and God will help them. Now look at here. This one says, this is Malacca, Minnesota, and says, 3 months ago, my wife was on her deathbed when Hank sang, "This world is not my home." She heard him, got up and came into the living room, knowing she was so soon to be in heaven. She passed away a few days later. Thank you so much. And so here we are ministering in word and in song. And that's what we're so happy about, that we can help people, especially older people, the shut-ins, but we're concerned with everybody, but seems like we leave out the older people so much. And so wherever you are, whoever you are, we're just thankful that God uses us to bless you. Here's Centerville, Iowa. I would like so much to attend church, but due to allergies and sensitive ears, I am unable to go. Your ministry means so much to me. Thank you, and God's blessings to you and all who assist you. And so here she is, another one, and they can't get around, but they can worship. And isn't that nice? We just have our church goes all over the world. And we're not scattered all over the world. We're all gathered together at the throne of grace. And someday we'll be there personally. When the Lord comes again, or when he, maybe he'll take us before that, eventually we're all of us, all of God's people, going to be around the throne of God personally, seeing Jesus personally. And we'll get to meet all of you. And won't we have a great time? Praise the Lord. Del Rapids, South Dakota, good old South Dakota, says, please accept this gift to keep your wonderful program running. I'm a shut-in and disabled, and your program does wonders for me. And then P.S., please send the Salvation Booklet. Thank you. Well, now the Salvation Booklet is about a 12-page booklet that we've written, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. You can't be saved and lost. If you're born again, you're a child of God and you'll never be lost. And so if you'd like a copy of this, you can write to us. And I'll give you the address in just a minute here. And you can write to us and we'll be happy to send it. If you can send a gift along with it, that's fine. But if you can't, we hear from people that are in prison. We send that free and postpaid. We have some people on Social Security, and they just can't make it. That's fine. Somebody else will pick it up. But we'll send you this book, and it says, and it's all from the Bible. It doesn't have a word about it with visions and dreams and dying and coming back to life and all that. It's the Scripture, the Bible. And if God says it, you can count on it. So get your pencil and paper. We'll give it in just a minute. Let's see, there's one more we'll do read about. Hull, Iowa. Just a short note with my gift. I enjoy your service every week. You have a great crew working with you. When you first started, I thought, old boy, he wants to retire. You all got it going, and I'm glad I can still support you all. Sundays are still the Lord's day of rest to me. And so here he says, he thought maybe I'd retire. And people say, when are you going to retire? I'm 95, going on 96. And they say, when are you going to retire? I'll tell you when I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire 3 days before my funeral. How do you like that? I'm going to go as long as the Lord lets me go. When he says stop, well, I'll probably stop. I guess I will stop. So it's all in the Lord's hands. And the crew, they talk about the crew. We've got a wonderful group of people. Most of them you can't see. They're behind all of that equipment and everything. I don't know what they're doing back there. They could be playing tiddlywinks for all I know. I hope they're listening to the sermon. Maybe they'll get saved or something. But no, they're good brothers in Christ. And we have a crew that God has given us, a team. Some of us have been together 38 years. And many of them for years and years. And serving the Lord, bringing the message. And so we're glad to do that. So I hope that you'll write to us and help us. Now, we're dependent upon your gifts. We don't have any other source of income. And so if you think that this is a service that God will honor and that God is using, and if it's a blessing to you, then you need to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. As a matter of fact, you can send a gift over the internet. And we get gifts from different parts of the world. And it always comes in American money, so we can go down there and pay for these programs. So we will just pray that you got, just ask God what he wants you to do. And then then we'll carry it on and follow through. And I know you're saying, well, what do I know about you? If I send my money in, maybe you'll get a sports car and zip around. Yep, 95 years old, and I'll buy a sports car. You don't need to worry about that. But we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That is a national, international organization. And they check our books. They audit our books. They check to see that we send out a receipt for every penny we get. And they check to see how we're using our money, if we're using it where we say we are. And we're using it only for the gospel, to get the gospel out to all the world. So we need to have your help. Now, if you want to get a little Bible study, we have a little Bible study. And it's called the New Song. And the Bible study this month is on 7 reasons why I know I'm going to heaven. 7 reasons I know I'm going to heaven. And it's all from the Bible. It's all scripture. And somebody says, well, I know you preached a long time. It wasn't very good preaching, but you tried. That's worth something. And so you get to heaven because you're a preacher. Being a preacher doesn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing. I'm just only one way. There's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. Salvation is not through anything but a person. It is a person, Jesus Christ. And you have to have Jesus. And you have him by asking him into your heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I had a little Sunday school boy tell me one time, he says, well, what if I ask him to come in and he won't come in? I only had one person ask me, a little boy named Keith, and he grew up and he'd be a Christian man, and now he's in heaven. Well, Jesus says, if you open the door, I'll come in. I'll come in. And so you ask him in. Now, if you do that, you write to us. We've got the address there on the screen. We'll send you some Christian literature. And so you write if you want the new song. We'll be glad to send it. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays on your heart. And if you do that, we'll have all we need as long as God wants us to go. And when he wants us to stop, he'll stop sending the money, and we'll stop. Probably go fishing. I don't know. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. For 38 years, your people have supported this ministry. A lot of those people are now in glory, Lord. But you raise up new people all the time, new people coming on board, new people to help us. Thank you, Lord, for providing our needs so we can proclaim the gospel through radio, through the shortwave radio and television all over the world, all to your praise. Thank you, dear Jesus, for everybody's had a part. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Face so faithful and helping us all the way through, doing it for the Lord, loving the Lord. We're reading from Genesis chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, we're starting with the first verse. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Indonesia. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this account that Noah gives us here, and how that you've told us that as it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we feel, Lord, we're in those days that you could come at any moment, not by a flood, but you're going to come by fire. You're going to come, Lord, and the whole earth is going to know it, and all earth is going to know that there's one God, and he's God Jehovah, and that there's salvation only in his Son Jesus. And so it is our prayer that in our service today, many will turn to you, because, Lord, judgment is going to come on this earth. It's going to come just as sure as day follows night. And just, dear Lord, just thank you and praise that you'll help us, that we'll be true in proclaiming that word, and so that the Holy Spirit can take it and apply it to hearts, that there'll be many multitudes right today in this service that will call in the name of the Lord and be saved, that will just make that prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, save me for Christ's sake, and put their faith in you and begin to serve you. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. And we know that some of them are giving their lives. And we pray for those, Lord, that are left behind. And especially we've been praying for the little children, the innocent little children, Lord, that haven't hurt a soul. And we thank you that all those little children belong to you. They're part of your kingdom. If something happens to them, they'll go to be with you, which is wonderful. They'll be in glory, saved from the troubles and trials of life. And so we pray that you'll just provide. I know you'll provide for them. And we pray you'll give them strength and courage and help them to know that all over the world, we're praying for them and we love them. Now bless us in this service, dear Lord. May many turn to you. And may many be helped and encouraged, and may many find comfort and strength. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank has a song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And God bless you, Hank.
My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus be with all things well. For I know Jesus do with all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, spring of joy I see gushing from the rock before me. Lo, a spring of joy I see. Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed in mortal wings just fly to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. And Jesus will lead us. We take Him as our Savior. He'll lead us all the way. He's led me now 85 years. Sometimes I've strayed and I've got off of the path, but He's there to lead and He's always to guide and direct and help. And He'll never leave us or forsake us. And maybe some of you today, you feel awful lonely. You don't know which way to turn. You think you're all by yourself. But if you put your faith in Jesus, just talk to Him and tell Him you love Him and ask Him to come into your heart and take away your sin and promise to serve Him the best you can and be a witness for Him and pray for the work of the Lord, and He'll walk with you all the way. And when He comes to the end of life, He won't drop you there. Then He's with us, and like the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you say, David, you don't fear death. Why won't you fear death? And he says, because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus is with us in life and in death, all the way through the golden gates, through the pearly gates into heaven. Oh, just trust Him. And you never have to be afraid. Well, we're going to talk about Noah today, Noah and the flood. And the name Noah means rest or quiet. He was a son of Lamech, and he was a tenth in descent from Adam. So he starts at the very beginning of time. Except for the record of his birth, the scriptures tell us nothing about Noah until he was 500 years old. When he was 500 years old, the Bible mentions that he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they were born before the flood. The flood came when Noah was 600 years old, and after the flood, he lived 350 years, so altogether, Noah totals 950 years. Jesus talked about Noah in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with the 36th verse. This is what he says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus is drawing a parallel here between the awful evil days of Noah and the days that will be happening when Jesus comes again. And he says the world is going to be coming to return right again, full circle, and it's going to come like it was in Noah's day. And when that happens, I'm going to come again, and time will be no more. The Lord said of those days, they ate and they drank. Now, this doesn't mean that it was wrong to eat and to drink. God made tasty things for us. I love to eat. It's one of my problems. But this he's talking about, not that we shouldn't enjoy food, but he's talking about eating and drinking and forgetting God, having no thankful to God, no thankfulness to God. God is out of the picture. And it's that people that say, let's eat, drink, and be merry. And who can tell what shall be after us after the sun? So he's talking about that. Then he says that marrying, giving in marriage. And again, our Lord didn't mean that it was wrong to marry. God ordained man in the Garden of Eden, one man and one woman. That's God's pattern. It's ordained of God. And he declares that marriage is honorable in all. But there is a marriage that is wrong, and that's a marriage when God is left out and God is disobeyed. It's a marriage when the sons of God marry the daughters of men, and so they can live, and they live for themselves, and they live. God is out of the picture, and they only thought of earthly things. Their treasure was on earth, and so they planting and buying and selling and building. Nothing of these aren't wrong unless God is left out of the picture, and then they become evil and they become wrong. And so we see that this was a day in which their materialism, where God is left out, and the materialism, they only think of the things that they can put their hands on. For instance, why did Lot settle in the Jordan Valley? Well, it says in the Bible, it was the valley was well watered everywhere. And so this is a picture of great, beautiful pastures and huge flocks of sheep and goats and camels and so forth. And it was a materialistic world. They were just thinking about the things they could put their hands on. And so you see, it was an age of materialism, and it was an age of destruction. And these people were not looking for destruction. They were busy about their work. They were making money. They were having a good time. They thought the sun would always come up. They thought the sun would always shine. They expected good health for at least 100 years or more. And they expected things to go on forever. And then in Noah's day, the storm of God's wrath broke upon them, and they all perished in the flood waters. Jesus tells us that the same sort of thing is going to be prior to his second coming. And when he comes a second time, people are not going to be ready for it. They're not going to be prepared. So the people of Noah's day were not ready for the judgment. And that came upon them. And Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel that people are not going to be ready when the judgment waters come. Not only the waters this time won't come, it'll be fire. It came by flood first with Noah, going to come by fire when it comes again. And St. Peter tells us that all the earth is going to be dissolved in fervent fire and flame. Jesus said this. He says, they knew not until the flood came. And in the days that come, the judgment of God is going to come. They won't be ready for it. And why weren't they ready for it? Because they didn't listen to God. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. God did everything he possibly could do to bring the people in Noah's day to the day of repentance. He did everything he could to save them from the impending flood. He knew the judgment was to come. God knew that, no question about it. And he wants people to repent and come to him. Look at what God did to turn people to himself. He did at least four different things to warn people to turn to God, to repent. Four different things. First of all, he gave them a preacher to warn them. Some of our preachers don't warn people of anything. But in this day, Noah was a just man. He was perfect in the sight of God. He was a sinner just like the rest of us. But it meant that he was a well-rounded man in the best sense of the word. And he was a man that was complete. And he was serving the Lord. He was good. And he was an upright man. Even though the world was filled with violence and sin, yet Noah lived for God and honored God in his life. We can do that too, my friends. Excuse me. No matter what the age may be like, no matter what they want to put on television, no matter what they want to write in their books or put on in the theater, no matter how they want to live, Noah and Job, they were righteous men. They lived for God in the worst of days, in the most terrible days. And so we don't need to try to hide behind the sins of the age, because God is going to hold us accountable. And God looked at Noah, and Noah preached. And he preached the word, and he told them the things of the gospel, of the word of God. He warned them by word, and he warned them by deed. By word, he stood up and he preached. And he told them the only way of escape was come through an ark. They had to flee to God and repent and come to God and get into that ark. There was a prophet in that day. His name was Enoch. We're told what he preached. This is what he preached. Behold, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their ungodly speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So the word of God was as clear as a bell. These men were true to God, and they preached the word. And he did more than that. Noah did more than that. He not only did that, but he lived what he preached. Judgment is coming on the world, and we know that judgment is going to come again, and we need to make provisions. We need to repent from our sins. We need to turn to God. We need to call upon his name. We need to have the hope of eternal life. There's a whole world out there, and they have no hope. And we have to bring them to Christ, and we warn them, and we tell them. And the Christian worship hour, we're doing everything we can to tell you judgment is coming. And if you're not in the ark, if you're not in Jesus, you're lost and you're going to perish. Oh, my God. And then Noah did more than preach. He began to build an ark in full view. And he couldn't hide that thing if he wanted to, because the ark was at least a football field and a half long. So a blind man could see that. And the whole world could see it. And how they must have laughed, because in the Bible, there's no mention of rain until the flood. It says that there was a dew that was over the land, and he watered it with the dew. They didn't even know what rain was. And they says, well, how can you get the war ocean out here in the battle of this, in the middle of this cornfield out here, this monstrosity of a ship? You must be crazy, Noah. And they laughed at him and they made fun of him. But Noah stood his guns and he preached and he built that ark. And then second, God gave them time to repent. As God, a godly Enoch had a son, he named him Methuselah. His name means, Methuselah means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. That is the flood. When Methuselah, here he's a little baby. They named him Methuselah. And God says, now when he dies, the flood's going to come. Just think of that. Well, when you read about Methuselah, you'll look what he did. He lived 969 years. He's the longest person that ever lived. And it's like God is saying, when this baby dies, when this man dies, I'm going to send the flood. And he held it back, and he held it back longer than any man of any record. Because when he dies, Methuselah dies, the flood's going to come. And God is giving him time to come. And I'm going to tell you, friends, time and time again, you've had your chance. You ought to turn to God, because it's going to be a day like Methuselah when the time is going to end and the flood is going to come, except this time it's going to be fire. And God Almighty knows only, well, like it says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so there came a day When God says, now I want you to close that ark, Noah, close the door. Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door. He says, get into the ark, Noah. And then we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God is in the ark. He's in Christ. God is in Christ. He's calling them to come to him. See? He says, come and get into the ark. And then we read, and the Lord shut him in. Genesis 7, verse 16. God closed that door. God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door. He didn't have anything to do with it. And so we preach today to come to Jesus. We have nothing to say about the fullness of God's grace. We don't know when the time is going to come. We don't know when the judgment's going to come. We can only preach that, but only God is going to send the time. And when he says it's time, the door's going to close and you'll never have another chance because the world is going to be decimated. And all of humanity, their spirit and their soul and their body, the body's going to be raised first before the world is destroyed. And they're going to stand before the judgment throne of God. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, my God. You need to come to Jesus. I wish I could come for you. Some of you men, I know you're listening. And your wife is a Christian. And you won't come. I got a letter from a woman. She says, my husband is so stubborn. I pray for him all the time. And he will not turn. He won't turn to Jesus. Now that's going to come, and we won't have a thing to say about it. God's going to close the door. Time will be no more. Then the fourth thing he had, God performed a miracle. He performed a miracle that something awful was brewing because from all over the land, the animals began to come. The clean animals came 7 by 7, and the unclean animals 2 by 2. You notice that? 7 by 7, that's 3 couples and 1 for a sacrifice. And the clean animals were used for sacrifices, so they came by 7s, the unclean by 2s. So God made provision that you can have a sacrifice if you want to. There's something you can give if you want to. He's provided for it, and so here they come. They come right up Main Street. They tie up all the traffic, and they're crossing all the lanes. And they're trampling on the lawns, and the elephants are lumbering by, and the rhinos are snorting through the town, and the field mice are skipping along, and the snakes came zipping along, and the old hogs come, and they stop down there at the downtown bar, and they take a look in there because they're interested in pig pens, and then they moved on toward the ark. So all the animals come marching, and here they are. The thing is high and dry, and they're coming 7 by 7 and 2 by 2. Now, wouldn't that make you think, wouldn't you think that people would say, there's something happening, what Noah's been preaching, there's something happening, I'm going to come to the Lord. I'm going to come to God, I'm going to repent of my sins, and I'm going to walk with Noah and his crew. That's what they should have done. Why wouldn't they do that? But they became so steeped in their sins and they became so tough and so hard that after a while, it didn't make a bit of difference whether they had the animals or not. You remember the story of the rich man in hell, in Tartarus, Hades, and he's talking to Lazarus and he's saying, tell my brothers that they don't come to this place. Go and warn them. And because... You know, people say, oh, if I go to hell, I'll have all my friends there. You'll have solitary confinement. That's what you'll have. Your friends won't mean a thing. And so he says, the rich man says to Lazarus, yes, but if somebody came from the dead, they would listen to him. And Abraham says, if they don't listen to the prophets now, they wouldn't listen even if somebody came from the dead. And he was sure right, wasn't he? Because Jesus came from the dead, and there you still share your sins. And you don't turn. You don't turn. There's a man who preaches a sermon. He says, turn. Turn or burn. And that's exactly it. Oh, my God. I tremble for you. And so the flood comes, and I'm going to read it. Because God describes it better than I can. He writes it this way, and he says, The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered, and the mountains were covered, and all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man, all in those nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. Death, death, death. And the flood came. And oh, I pray that you come to Jesus. Come while you can. But then something happened. Noah comes out of that ark and he makes a sacrifice and he praises God. But there's one thing else about Noah. And I wish I didn't have to say it, but it's in the Bible. And here it is. He finds himself as a senseless and drunk, lying naked and exposed on the earth in the presence of his sons. And from that picture, we get this picture. There doesn't matter how strong you think you may be. You can fall. You can fail. Solomon said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And here's Noah, one of the greatest men in the whole Bible, and he falls and he sins, and so can you and so can I. And something else for us to think about, he did it in his old age. He wasn't a young sprout or a young kid. He was an old gray head. And that means as long as we live, we can be tempted and we can sin. They ask one old pastor, How long do you think it'll be before you won't be tempted anymore? He says, I think maybe 5 days after my death. That's always there. And you're not away free from it, and I'm not free from it. And I pray to God in my old age, I don't do some stupid thing that brings disgrace to my Savior's name. It happened to Noah. But the main thing we want to talk about today is you need to come to Jesus. You need to come to the Lord Jesus, because this flood is coming, not a flood of water, but a flood of fire. And it's going to come just as sure as day follows night. And so God bless you. Put your faith in Jesus. You say, I want to come. Come to Jesus right now. Most of you men, I think of you men. Just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner and I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You pray that. And then if you do, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. Any part of the world, we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And you can send a gift if you can, because we need your help. And you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com if you want to. But be sure to write to us. Now I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for all these people right now that are praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They're praying and they're entering the kingdom. We praise you for that. And many that have drifted away are coming back. And then we're praying, Lord, for those who are in beds of sickness, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are aged, and those who can't get out, those who are lonely, dear Lord, and they feel deserted, but they're not deserted, because you are with them if they put their faith in you. And you'll never leave them or forsake them, but you put your arms around them, and the arms of God will be underneath them, and they will be saved. Oh, God, we pray that in all these things you'll be pleased. You'll be saved and you'll be honored, and we'll just do it to your honor and glory. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together now, praying your blessings on everyone with all glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you now. You be sure to write to us. We need to have your help. We need to hear from you. And wherever you are, Christian Worship Hour, got it on the screen there. And then next week we'll get together, the Lord willing. Maybe the Lord will come before then, or maybe he'll take some of us. But either way, we're safe, we're secure. And so thank you for tuning us in. Thank you for opening your doors to us. Thank you for the letters you write. We're just so happy we can be a part of your life. And now we'll be praying for you all this week. And then in just a few days, Lord willing, we'll be back. We'll be back with the most glorious message in all the world. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.